is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. The madness of March continues tomorrow, and we will break down some of the Sweet 16 games with our guy Harry Gagnon, as well as former Final Four head coach Tom Green in a little bit later on this hour. But it's also Pro Day season, Michael, that rolls on today in Baton Rouge. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, all hitting the field. And we've already seen some little news items trickle out that Jaden Daniels is 6'3", 210 pounds. So he was getting the grub on ahead of today to make sure that he could make weight. And then Malik Nabers running a 4.35 40. Some other scouts had him at 4.36. His second one, 4.4. So he's showing himself pretty well here so far early.
Yeah, and weighing, what did he weigh, 200 pounds? I mean, he's big, he's fast, he makes plays. The tape backs up everything that he does. He's sensational. He's got great body control. He's got that length that you want, that catch radius, which is so damn important. And look, Daniels at 210. I mean, he, you know, everybody thought he would come in at 185. And I don't know what he looked like when they measured him. They usually take his shirt off. But I'm sure he's been working out hard. And look, he's only going to get bigger and stronger as he just does this for a living as opposed to having to go to school and do other things. So, you know, his tape, again, he backs it up. He's made a lot of plays. He's done it at Arizona State. Then he had a brief hiatus there where he wasn't as good as we thought. And then he went to LSU and has been everything that we thought he could be. So, and he's improved.
Yeah.
He's improved a lot. And I think that's kind of the trend we're seeing, Stormy, in this draft here is guys have transferred. Guys have been good, and then they went somewhere else. Penix, Indiana to Washington. Good at Indiana, bad at Indiana, great at Washington. Bo Nix, not so good at Auburn, good as freshman year. Transfers to Oregon, all of a sudden becomes great. Caleb Williams, good at both places. So this transfer portal has benefited these quarterbacks because it's gotten them to an offense that has highlighted their skill set.
Yeah, and to your point about the transfer and finding that right pairing, whether it be with a head coach or a coordinator or whatever it is, now we got to see if these quarterbacks can find that at the next level with whatever team ultimately drafts them. Jaden Daniels, of course, capping his final year in college with 50 total touchdowns, had over 1,100 yards on the ground, 10 of those touchdowns coming in the rushing form as well. A really, really special talent. He's an odds-on favorite to go number two overall, minus 125, despite all of the steam that has come up in the past 48 hours on J.J. McCarthy, who already had his pro day. And if you listen to Jim Harbaugh, the best one ever in the history of pro days, the way that it seems so far. One interesting wrinkle that's come out of Baton Rouge, though, today, our good friend of the show, Albert Breer, MMQ, Sports Illustrated. He says the Patriots, Michael, have nine guys in attendance at the LSU Pro Day, including, of course, Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo. What does that say to you about their potential interest in this guy?
Well, it says they're interested. It doesn't say anything other than that. It, you know, because they were there in Orlando, you know, and you always want to bring your coordinator to the quarterback workout. And they're going to go see Drake May tomorrow. So let's just grab this and do it all in one time. You know, I'm sure they spent time with Daniels. Did they take him out to dinner? I don't know. But eventually they'll bring Daniels up to Foxborough and spend time with him there. That's the thing that's really more important than who's at the workout. It's who comes on to the facility. And I'm sure New England will have Daniels in their building where they can sit down and spend time with them one-on-one, let him meet everybody, kind of pick his brain on what he was doing, watch tape together, and really get an extensive study of his character and his football knowledge.
Yeah, that's a great point. Everybody will be leaving Baton Rouge today and heading up to Raleigh, North Carolina to see Drake May tomorrow. Michael Penix Jr. also having his pro day at Washington coming up tomorrow. Let's stick with the Patriots, though, here, Michael, because every day on the show, we've been doing a new edition of What's on Michael's Mind. So different topics, big or small, whatever's racking through your brain. And today's topic does have to do with that team in Foxborough. What's going on?
Well, I think to me, when I woke up this morning early and I was getting ready to start writing, I read Julian Edelman's comments about Dynasty and along with Matthew Slater. And I just felt like we've had so much of the ex-players kind of come to the defense of Coach Belichick in terms of really, you know, destroying this infomercial that was produced by the Kraft family about the Patriot Way, which was really all about them. It was an infomercial. And I thought Julian, who has a great relationship with Mr. Kraft and is really, you know, in conversations with him, but I think he really let it out. And he also said about Wes Welker, you know, that Wes was lying about things with Hernandez because he personally said that, you know, he heard Belichick coach Hernandez really hard. And I think that, and then he called out Welker saying, look, you just don't like Belichick. That's why you're doing it. So the honesty that I think Edelman brought to the table was tremendous. And this whole document series where Kraft, oh, he pretends he had nothing to do with it, you know, and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's a fan again, but he had nothing to do with it when it was all about, it was all about him. I mean, what Dan Shaughnessy wrote in a column for the Boston Globe, he said that, you know, he got Rupert Murdoch to make him look like Jonas Salk. Those are Dan Shaughnessy's words, not mine. And so this was all about promoting Kraft for the Hall of Fame and trying to destroy the head coach who helped them win six Super Bowls or played a huge part in winning six Super Bowls. And Edelman, Gronk, McCourty, Slater, all of them have come out against this, and I think it's tremendous.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison as well. That exact quote, though, in reference to the Aaron Hernandez doing whatever he wanted to do at practice, I love this here from Julian Edelman. Come on, Welk, trying to make up stories. We all know you don't like Bill. I love Welker, too, but you clearly can tell that he hates Bill. And both he and Matthew Slater talked at length on what is called the Games with Names podcast. They wanted the audience to get to see two sides of Bill that was very clearly painted in one side of things. Here's more from the podcast with Edelman and Slater.
Have you been watching the Dynasty?
I have been.
I have been watching.
This is interesting, this Dynasty. Some comments that I made on there that made it seem like Bill was just this like very demanding presence. And he was, but I also want people to see there are multiple sides of Bill. He's being portrayed in a certain light. And
if you're in your 30s and you've played football, I don't think you ever liked your football coach. You loved him. Just like I didn't like my parents when they made me do things that they knew was going to make me a better person. We didn't like doing it, but we needed it.
Right. Let's make sure none of us forget the fact that the Dynasty is not even being talked about without Bill Belichick.
He won six Super Bowls, Michael. He took the team to nine, won another two Super Bowls as a coordinator with the Giants. Like, you think that type of success happens just on a whim, just on a fluke? No, he did things a certain way, and it led to success.
Yeah, but, you know, they didn't focus on that, Stormy. And so what happens is because the lack of honesty and because of the overt behavior and where the focus was centered, it rendered this whole documentary useless. It really did. Even the critics of Belichick have come out to defend him because they don't even believe what's being said. Now, Kraft divorced himself from it. He moved away, said, I didn't know what was going on. Of course you didn't. Just like he didn't know about the facilities, that nobody likes the facilities. You know, he just found that out, even though he works out in the weight room all the time. So it's like hilarious that that this distortion. And when you read about it, whether it's from Ben, whether it's from the Boston Globe or whether it's from Greg Bernard or anybody that talks about it, it's just so bad. And I find satisfaction in the players because I was in the building. I know what was going on in the building. You know, they didn't interview me for the documentary. They didn't touch on the 14, you know, they didn't touch on the positives. They focused two serious shows. I haven't watched none of it. This is all from friends. On Hernandez and the Flake or Spygate.
Yeah.
Like seriously, I mean the value of their franchise is over $7 billion. I think he had something to do with that.
Let's hear straight from the horse's mouth because you mentioned Robert Kraft's reaction to it. Here are his public comments.
I felt bad that there was so much emphasis on the more controversial and let's say challenging situations over the last 20 years. I wish they had focused more on our Super Bowl wins, our 21 game win streak. I'll state this clear. I feel so privileged that we had Bill here and you know, we hope when he's finished that we're going to have a chance to honor him.
Saying the right things, Michael, but saying in action, the things you say in your actions are very different things.
He didn't answer the question. They asked him if Bill was being treated unfairly, and he went into the monologue about how he wants to put him in the Patriot Hall of Fame. Look, you know, in my world, I think people see this for what it is. And, you know, and the fact that they didn't use a lot of the players' quotes in the right way, and this was framed. But this all goes back to the book Dynasty by Jeff Benedict. You know, that book was written for, essentially the purpose of that book was to get Kraft in the Hall of Fame. That's why that book came out, to give him credit for the dynasty, to get him in the Hall of Fame, when he should just stand back and realize he hired the greatest coach of all time. That should get him in the Hall of Fame. That's what got Edward DeBartolo in the Hall of Fame. Edward DeBartolo didn't sit there and try to say, I want credit for all the winning. Edward DeBartolo did a tremendous thing. He hired Bill Walsh, and Bill Walsh won Super Bowls, and Bill Walsh built an organization that Eddie was in charge of. And that got him in the Hall of Fame. But when you're trying to get in something, it looks too fishy. And this just screams of fishy.
Yeah, and to your point, a lot of players have come out, said they felt duped by the production company that put this together and how their words were taken. So it's very interesting. You know, the only person who hasn't spoken out about it, Bill Belichick, because, you know, he minds his business. We're going to hit the break here real quickly. The Patriots' new era, by the way, they're 25-1 in the AFC East. Win total set at 4.5, 8-1 to make the playoffs. Coming up, back to college hoops. College basketball analyst and former head coach Tom Crean joins the program. He brought Marquette to their last Final Four. What's he think about this year's team?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite. All at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find when you head to Total Wine and More. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Let's turn our attention to a little bit of the madness as the Sweet 16 gets underway tomorrow. Tom Crean, ESPN college basketball analyst, former head coach, has multiple Big Ten titles with Indiana, brought Marquette to a Final Four. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Coach, let's start with your former team who finds themselves in the Sweet 16. What is the ceiling for Marquette this year?
Oh, I think it's good. I think they're going to have to really have a great plan on DJ Burns on Friday night. And he catches the ball so wide. I mean, he can really post up anywhere, start his post up anywhere from 20, 18 feet out. So if you go right away when he catches it, he's going to pick you apart with passing. If you go too late, he's going to beat you on the move with his strength and his quickness. I think you have to really determine and a lot of it has to this. You have to go off the when he starts putting the ball down on the ground on the dribble. And what I've seen with most of these teams that have faced him the last few weeks is nobody sticks out their game plan. Like they do it a little bit and then they get away from it. They do it a little bit, then they get away from it. You might have to change up your game plan, but you better have a game plan on him. And I see too much of just allowing a kid that's that quick, that strong, that nimble, and that good a touch and passer to be able to play. So he really is the controller of the game. They play really hard at NC State. They shoot it. They drive it. But I think Marquette is built for this now. I'm not sure anybody's beaten Houston in that bracket after being at Memphis this past weekend, covering those games for Westwood One. But Marquette can beat them because they can get up and down the floor. They can pass. They can really, really put you into problems with their two-man game because they have so many guys that can start their offense. And it's going to be a real issue for NC State to have to guard Marquette's five-man, Osu Iguodaro, because he can do so much off the drive, and he's got as good a pull-up floater game as any big man in the country. So I like Marquette in that, but they got to have a real plan on DJ Burns, and they've got to do a great job of stopping the drives of the NC State guards.
You know, you mentioned Houston, Coach, and Sheed was incredible in the game against A&M, and Houston looks healthy and ready to go. But I thought the last two games, Duke has taken their game to another level, and they look like they're probably playing their best basketball. But you still think Houston's too much to take in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. Vermont and James Madison are really good in their leagues. They earned their way into that tournament, but they're not physical, aggressive, get-at-you teams. And really, Duke's offense was really good. I mean, really good, but it's still the same issues that Duke has during the year, getting beat on the two-man game, the ball screen game, I mean, the two-man game in the middle of the floor, getting driven, long closeouts. Those things were still there. I mean, Duke was just too good offensively. And if Duke can score those kind of points against Houston, they'll win the national championship, because then that means that they are ridiculously good. But I don't think anybody can score those kind of points. Buzz Williams had a tremendous game plan against Houston and not wanting to face that set defense the whole game. And he really, it's something he said in our meetings, that they really started to look at changing how they played. They'd lost five games in a row. And then they were 6-1 going into that game the other night with Houston, and they started to really try to score in the first 6 to 10 seconds of the clock. And they were really good at it. You know, they went to the foul line. Really, if A&M makes their free throws, it's a different game. But Houston, you're not beating them. It's almost like you have to kill them. And I don't think you can. I mean, they're not, and when I mean, they're not going to lose the game for you. Right. So when I say you can't just beat them, you got to be really, really good. And they are so tough minded. I mean, they had a walk on come in and make a free throw at the end of the game. They brought Ramon Walker Jr. back, who most felt wasn't even going to get back this year after missing 9 games. And he's instrumental at the end of the game. So there's something about that Houston group, and all those guys fouled out in the game. But they still had guys that made plays. And I think there's just something about that culture that's ingrained. Those guys believe. They trust one another. I don't think they're really that healthy. The Tugler kid, if he'd have played the full year, he might be a top 20 pick. And they miss him. I think Juwan Roberts is still not healthy. He's out there like he's a walking mash unit, but he just kills you. I mean, he's so tough around the rim. He's got an incredible left hand. I like Houston a lot. I mean, it's going to take an incredible effort from somebody to beat them.
That's really great insight. Houston, a 4-point favorite in this game against Duke, total 134.5. And we actually asked a guest yesterday on the program. I was questioning Houston's depth because of the situation that they were in against Texas A&M. And he echoed a lot of those thoughts about their toughness and the way that their minds are, that actually gave him more confidence in Houston moving forward, showing that they could still escape that win the way that they did with 4 guys fouled out. Tom Crean joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on the Lombardi Line. Now, I mentioned off the top, of course, you took Marquette to their last Final Four. You know what it takes to get through these rounds. How tough is it ultimately to get through the Sweet 16, to get through the Elite Eight, and which teams do you really feel like are built to get there remaining?
Well, it's funny, and when we were at Marquette, I just saw on Twitter earlier that this is an anniversary of when we beat Pitt in the Sweet 16. We beat them by 3, and to give you an example of how hard it is, we had Dwayne Wade. He either assisted or scored on 15 of 19 possessions from the end of the first half to the beginning of the second, or through the early parts of the second half, and we won the game by 3. That's how hard it is. I mean, you have got to be so tough-minded. And again, I look at A&M the other night. They make the free throws, they probably win the game. And because they missed so many free throws throughout the game. And the bottom line is you got to get to the foul line. We talked about that last time we were on. The getting to the foul line, the free throw percentage is huge. All that carries over. I think what carries over is you've got to get to the foul line. You've got to be able to rebound the ball. There's no question you've got to have shooters on your team that can space and play. Like, Houston, their weakness is their depth, but their strength is every individual that comes into that game knows that they can impact the game. And so so it almost offsets the lack that they don't have as much depth as what they had. But you've got to have that. You've got to have – I remember this when we went to the Final Four. We had 4 wins. We beat Holy Cross. We beat Missouri in overtime. We beat Pitt. We beat Kentucky. We had a different freshman. We only had 4 freshmen. But we had a different freshman be instrumental in all 4 of those games. And it might be one player like Steve Novak going 3 for 3 from three in an overtime against Missouri. It might be another player like Joe Chapman having a couple quick buckets when you sub. You can't have wasted possessions in these games. And being around this from a courtside view, watching the practices the last couple of days, you're not out coaching anybody, so you better make darn sure that you've got a great staff. And that you've got answers to a lot of things, and you don't have an emotional group of coaches and an emotional group of players. It's like Auburn. Auburn could have been a Final Four team, but the kid that got thrown out of the game 3 minutes into the game, he became their most important player during the year. His name is Chad Baker Mazzara. And he wasn't maybe their best player. He wasn't their highest rated recruit, but he was their most important player because he could get so many different things done. You have one of those moments, and all of a sudden you're out. And so I think those things become really, really hard in this. The rest is easier. You got to do a great job of making sure that the day between games and then when you get ready to play your next game in the Elite Eight, that you are absolutely rested. I saw fatigue hit this. But the bottom line, guys, is this. You got to have a tough-minded team that will not be impacted by missing shots. They've got to keep playing. I saw so many guys get their heads down and lose some energy because the ball wasn't going in for them. It's not going to go in for you at this level like this. Now, it's too tough. You got to be able to keep playing and then get back in and find something to go your way offensively. But you cannot rely on your offense to win.
Coach, real quick, we got about a minute left. Can anybody besides Houston beat UConn?
Tennessee Purdue winner, maybe. I think that'll be a great game. I think the Purdue guards are going to be really tested this weekend. I think, and I'm not sure Purdue has a guy that can really get into Dalton Connect. Texas did as good a job as anybody on Dalton Connect because they just went in and were physical with him the whole time. But I'd have to say probably no. I just still think UConn is far and away. And if they get by Iowa State or Illinois, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Coach Crean, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Anytime. Thank you.
That's Tom Crean, Coach, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And
great job.
And awesome insight, as always, from somebody who has been there and done that. But what I really gleaned from that last answer is that my Aztecs, Michael, have no hope this week.
You took it personally. Don't it just...
I can't help it. It is what it is. More College Hoops talk on the other side of the break with former sportsbook supervisor and Against All Odds host Harry Gagnon. But get excited as well for MLB futures. Why Harry is not concerned about the Shohei Ohtani scandal when it comes to his NL MVP bet. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up with a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. You'll get your first year for only $199 instead of the usual $240 price. All you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. That'll get you VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year, which means daily best bets, leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits showing you where the money and bets are moving for every game, as well as betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, and our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game and round of the tournament as the bracket rolls on. Remember, use that code Lombardi. First year of VSiN Pro access for $199. VSiN.com/subscribe. Joining us live on the Progressive Guest Line as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you is the one and only Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal. 3-1 on the bets you gave out here on the show last weekend, including a Grand Canyon outright winner, my friend. We love it. Thank you so much for joining us. And how was your opening weekend out here in Vegas?
It was good, guys. We had a blast. In race attempts, we did 14 of them, me and Cousin Sal. We went 7-7. We had, but we'll take 7-7. You know, if you break even in Vegas, a lot of people say that's as good as a win. So we had a lot of fun, and a lot of people from all around the country came out to hang out with us, shoot the breeze, have bets all over the place. So it was a lot of fun, guys.
So let's go college hoops. So you're cooking this thing up. You know, before we get to your 5-point teaser, I'll let Stormy talk to you about that because you two can collaborate on how that's going to go. But yeah. What about the Creighton? You like them and taking the 2.5?
Well, look, I've been on Creighton all season long. They were my team to win the whole thing. They still are. This might be the Blue Jays' time after, like I said, last year's crap phantom call against San Diego State in the Elite Eight. Sorry, Stormy, I know I bring that up too much.
But still, everybody still hurting my feelings today.
But Creighton is averaging 82 points per game in the tourney versus Akron and Oregon. Guard transfer Utah State, Steve Ashworth was tremendous for them in the last game. Kalk Brenner's been great in the center position. 23-8 first game, 19-14 in the second game. I expect Trey Alexander to have a much better game here. I just think overall here, McDermott's team can hang with anybody. They beat Connecticut earlier this year by 19. And just two weeks ago, Tennessee got smoked wire to wire in the SEC tournament by Mississippi State, who's an average squad. So I got Creighton. I actually think they should probably be the favorite, but I'll take the 2.5 here, Michael.
Harry, I'm just standing by ball, don't lie. I'm just going to leave it at that. Spread again, 2.5 in Creighton, Tennessee, total 144. Let's go out to L.A., where Arizona is one of the two big favorites on the card for the Sweet 16, laying 7.5 against Clemson. What do you think happens here? Oh, this is the 5-point teaser that Michael wanted to tee me up on.
Yeah,
okay,
so also you gravitated right towards it, Stormy.
it was just natural. Lay this out for us.
It's just natural.
Why are you intrigued? Why are you intrigued by the SGT? Because it's not just a college hoops teaser; it's a same game teaser with the total involved.
Yeah, look, I don't like laying points, especially 7.5 in this spot. No, we know what happened to Arizona last year in the first round against Princeton. So I'm going to be safe here. I'm going to tease it down to 2.5. And I'm going to go under 157 here, guys. Look, Arizona's looked lovely. You know, it's been kind of because of Caleb Love, the UNC transfer, who was at 19-5 and 18-5 for the Wildcats in the first two games of the tournament. Clemson at times has been really good, like they were in the first half against Baylor, but this might be a situation where it's just too big for them. This Tiger team still lost 3 of the last 4 games to end the season to Notre Dame, Wake Forest, and Boston College. Again, thrilled by Boston College. And those three teams obviously didn't make the tournament. And in tournament games, in games that Clemson's played against tournament teams this year, guys, they played 11 of them. 10 of them have gone under 157. So give me Arizona minus 2.5 and under 157 in a same game 5-point teaser.
Love it. Stormy, thoughts?
I'm just
going
to say,
that way?
I
convince you?
I can't judge because obviously I have no fear in doing that with the NFL. So good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, well, you also love it in college hoops too, Stormy. You're not going that he couldn't
listen,
convince
Michael,
you?
Come those on. Are for our private conversations and commercial breaks. I don't talk about them publicly. Those are for our alone time. Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. One more in college hoops. You like the over in UNC, Alabama. Alabama, we know they have a ton of offense, but UNC, yeah, one of the better defensive teams in all of college basketball. Why do you like the over such a high number?
Yeah, I'm still going to go over 174. I went over 173 last week with you guys when Bama played Charleston, flew over, had over, you know, over 200 points in that game. So yeah, I'm going to go over 174 here. Bama, number one scoring team in the country, put up 109, like I said, in round one. And then had a slugfest against Grand Canyon. Now they're back in their type of offensive element with North Carolina, I believe, in this next game. 5 of North Carolina's last 6 games, they have scored at least 84 points. They've scored 90 and 85 in the tournament so far. Tar Heels in 3 games, guys, 3 games versus SEC schools this season. They averaged 90 a game. R.J. Davis was fantastic in all 3. He had 30, 27, and 27 in those games. Bama and UNC over 174.
All right, so let's swing it. Major League Baseball is going to start tomorrow. The weather on the East Coast is not baseball weather. And I know everybody in the Philadelphia area, I know you'll be shocked to know this, but the Phillies are going to win everything. But yet, you're going to go ruin their dream, too. You're going with the Braves to win the World Series and destroy all these Philadelphia Philly fans here.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, Michael, Sal, if you can believe it, being a huge Mets fan that he is, he's on the Phillies for the World Series, too. But I'm not. I'm going to be on the Braves at plus 450. Let me start with their great, tremendous pitching. They led the National League last year in strikeouts. Max Fried is healthy now. They added Chris Sale to help out a little bit. and Spencer Strider in his last two seasons is 31-10 with almost 500 strikeouts on the offensive side. They led the majors in batting average, hit, home runs, RBIs. Not the Dodgers, the Braves did. Atlanta's loaded again offensively. I wouldn't be surprised if their numbers are better than LA's again. I'm taking the Braves to win the World Series at plus 450.
Well, my husband will be very happy to hear that because he's been struggling with all of the games that they win and nothing to show for it the last two seasons. So they want to get back on top, that's for sure. So this next one I found very interesting, especially considering all of the controversy in Major League Baseball right now surrounding Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. That has not shied you away from the awards market. You're buying in on Shohei for NL MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I know maybe a lot of, you know, with Friedman, with Betts, maybe cancel each other out a little bit, but I don't think so. At plus 950, I think that's tremendous value. He's won it, obviously, last year, won it in 2021. Don't have to be concerned about him getting injured pitching. 124 home runs last season, last three seasons combined. I think it's showtime for Shohei in LA. I mean, his career, he had career highs last season, slugging percentage, on base percentage, total bases. I think he puts up monster numbers again at plus 950 again. The guy who won it last year in the American League, I think that's great value.
All right, so now you got him to win the National League. You got Bobby Witt Jr. to win the MVP in the American League at 18-1. There he goes. There you go. There's some long odds for you.
Some long odds. Michael, when's the last time this interesting number. I'm very intrigued by this number. He may not win it, but when's the last time you could say a Kansas City Royal was 18-1 to win the MVP before the season? 18-1, maybe go back to George Brett. I don't know, but at 18-1.
That's who I was thinking of. I was thinking George Brett.
Yeah, George Brett, right? That would be it. I mean, but he's got terrific pedigree. His father played in the majors for like 15, 16 years. Entering his third season in KC, was taken number two overall in 2019 draft. Like I said, only 23 years old, and in two seasons, he's already got 50 home runs, 176 RBIs, 79 stolen bases. I like him to have the most stolen bases this year also at plus 950. If Acuna drops down a little bit and tails off a little bit and comes up stat, he could be the guy, like I said, 79 over his two-year career at 50 last year. Led the AL in triples last year. So, listen, why not? Bobby Witt Jr., 18-1, monster year, bust-out season for him in his third year.
Harry, it's like you knew what our next segment was to close out the show today. That would have been a perfect Why Not Wednesday candidate at 18-1 for Bobby Witt Jr. Love it. Last thing before we let you go, favorite win total for Major League Baseball preseason. What you got?
Well, you know what? I think this is a very low number. The Rangers, the defending champs, are at 88.5 at like minus 108. You can shop around a little bit for that, but I like over on the Rangers. I don't think there's going to be a letdown for the defending champs. Manager Bruce Bochy will not allow it. I like to pick up a pitcher, Michael Lorenzen from the Phillies, who they got from the Tigers earlier in the season last year. Nate Eovaldi has proven that he can be more than clutch. Evan Carter, rookie season last year for the Rangers, batted over 300. Corey Seager's fourth on the list of players in the American League to be AL MVP at like 10-1. And the Rangers returned all four starters who had at least 95 RBIs last season. That includes catcher Jonah Heim. I like the Rangers over 88.5 here. I think they get around 95 again.
Harry, you're the man. Thanks for doing this. Good luck with your bets.
Yeah, thanks, Harry.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Harry Gagnon, check out the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal wherever you get your podcasts. And follow Harry on X at AAO Harry. Like I said, when we come back, we are closing out the show with another edition of Why Not Wednesday. Could this position group sneak into the first round of the NFL draft? That and more when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DK customers. You can earn a $500 bonus bet for every 1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now and use our code Lombardi when you sign up. Again, that gets you a $500 bonus bet for every 1,000 you wager right now.
may be a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
We're closing things out the only way we know how on a Why Not Wednesday. Michael and I looking at some long shot props and seeing if it could make you tilt your head and say, why not? I'll fire on that. And I swear our producer, Elliot Bowman, is trying to torture me today as the first Why Not Wednesday.
I see this.
It's so cruel. The first Why Not Wednesday candidate we have. San Diego State, Michael. Can they beat the defending champion, UConn Huskies, in a repeat of last year's title game, plus 455. I know I can't, but can you say why not?
I can't say why not to that. I mean, that's why I asked Coach Crean the question. Can anybody? Now, Crean, you know, like Crean gave me a different point of view on Houston. And he covered the game. He was talking about Buzz and all the things that they did. And, you know, Houston's only lost four games, so maybe this will be Connecticut-Houston to get to the finals. I don't know, but it isn't going to be Sandy. I can't see San Diego State having enough to do it for 40 minutes, Stormy. You won't get me there, and I feel bad you wouldn't even go there. Elliot, you know, why wouldn't he put Purdue in here? Because he doesn't want to hear that answer.
He wants to
torture you, Stormy.
He doesn't want to hear the truth. I see how it is. It's fine. But, no, I'm right there. And San Diego State had a great shooting performance against Yale. Over 50% from three. They had 13 made three-pointers in that game, Michael. 85 points. That's not what they do. That's not going to happen again against UConn. It's unfortunate. They also, you think about the travel. They had to go back to San Diego, now out to Boston, where it's a virtual home game for UConn, too. I don't know about the 11. I would bet UConn before I would bet San Diego State, though, even with the points. Just throwing that out there, unfortunately. Let's hit this next one, Michael. Right now, it doesn't appear that this is a running back class with first-round grades, but at a 10-to-1 prop, do we think that a single running back could float their way into the top 32 picks? What do you think? Could you say why not?
No way. I think the running backs have been taken care of in the free agency. I think everybody kind of settled them down, got the guy that they want. There's teams that still need a running back, no question. But I don't think the value is going to be to spend one there in the first round. And I just don't see any of them having first round grades, whether it's Benson, whether it's Brook, whether it's Shipley at Clemson. All those seem more like potential starters, which indicate more in the second round. So you're not getting me there. Elliot's 0-for-2 so far today.
Minus 2,000 on the no for a running back to be drafted. Jonathan Brooks, a plus 225 favorite to be the first running back selected, but I don't think anybody sees that happening in the first round. Let's go back to college basketball. NC State, Michael, the lone remaining double-digit seed in the field, getting set to take the court in the Sweet 16. But can they do it for two more games? NC State 13-1 to make the Final Four. Could you say why not?
Well, no, I couldn't. You couldn't get me on this one either because, look, I think Marquette's going to be a tough opponent for them. And then, you know, they got to get to the next one to get to the...
Winner of Houston Duke.
Yeah, and then to me, what Coach Crean, now I know he's the ex-Marquette coach, but what he said about Marquette was enlightening to me, and it gave me a different perspective on Marquette. Everybody, you know, has kind of been up and down on Marquette. I thought they played better in the second half. So, I can't see NC State making it to the Final Four. Although, you know, the big fella in the middle is pretty good, and if they have lights out shooting, but two games against two really good teams, I don't see it.
That Burns kid, he's my Cinderella.
Perfectly.
I just want him to keep going. He's so much fun to watch. In the NFL, we learned yesterday that Dak Prescott is in another prove-it-year deal type situation. Could you say why not to a 5,000-plus yard passing season for Dak Prescott with it all on the line to make the big bucks in Dallas?
0-for-4. No way. I mean, if he's throwing for 5,000 yards with that line, I mean, right now they don't have – I mean, unless they move Tyler Smith to left tackle, which is probably what they're going to have to do, the line isn't very good. And when you go on the road like they've had to go on the road and they haven't been able to produce, beat good teams on the road, no. Look, I think they're not as talented. I love CeeDee Lamb. They don't have a running back on their team right now. Maybe it's Deuce Vaughn, and he's dynamic, right? Maybe he'll become their guy. And it could be because we've seen him do it in college, but 5,000 yards, yeah. I don't see it, Stormy.
12-1 is a fun number to look at, but is it reality to get to 5,000? He led the league in passing yards this past season with 4,516. The closest he has gotten was the 2019 season, had 4,902. I think that we're going to go over again here, Michael, because as much as I know you would love to give some props to the New York Ifers, I don't think you can get there. The Jets at plus 750 to win 14 or more regular season games. Is it possible?
It's only plus 750?
Yeah.
The ifers to get to 14 wins is only, that means they're 14-3 and it's you're only getting plus 750. Stormy, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, that's, like, are you serious? Like, that's it. That's not fair. That number should be plus 1,500. Shouldn't it?
Listen, Michael, they think they have the best defense in the National Football League. They have a three-time MVP who's coming back. He's going to be healthy despite that age. They don't care. They got the weapons. They got the talent. They got everything, Michael. If they stay healthy, plus 750, you don't want to take it? I don't either, but still.
Are you going to tie up your money with the ifers?
I can't
do it. To think they're going to win 14 just to get 750 back?
I told you, Michael, I'm not doing this to myself again in general. I have not, and I will not, bet anything Jets over, anything Jets positive, any futures
ifers.
Awards.
They're the ifers. They're no longer the Jets.
It.
We'll keep the color green and white, but we're going to keep them where they're the ifers.
Yeah. It's not even the season yet, and we're already saying just end the season. That's just how I feel. Okay. Big Ten. Could a Big Ten team win the NCAA tournament this year? Plus 550, the last league title, Michigan State in 2000. It has been a hot minute.
I mean, do you see how he worded this? It's so brilliant. You know, the man's
smooth.
A wordsmith. He wants me to answer the Purdue question, right? Without putting Purdue in it, right? You know, he wants me to go there because, you know, that's kind of what, you know, Purdue... I think you could get me to say why not at plus 550. I think I could say why not to that. We break the streak.
It's not because of Illinois. It's not because, but you see, you're
could
not.
Be. It could be Illinois, but I think he had his mind. I think he had his mind set more. I think he had his mind set more on Purdue with this question.
Well, that's why we're steering away with Elliot from Purdon't. It's Purdue, Sir Elliot. So that's the new thing that's been working its way around here in the control room. Okay, all right. We finally got a why not. We finally got one. It happened. Can we go 2 for 2 as we close things out? We talked a lot earlier at the start of the hour about the New England Patriots. And the dynasty conversation. We also talked about how many reps they have out at Jaden Daniels Pro Day and will have tomorrow for Drake Mays. Could you say why not to the New England Patriots in year one of the new era under Gerard Mayo to make the playoffs 8-1, bet 100, win 800, Michael?
I could say why not to that because, remember, I felt like there was a lot of games they had a chance to win last year that they didn't win. I can't say why not if they keep the same kicker. But they changed quarterbacks. Now, they haven't made the move on the kicker, so we'll see. But, look, anything's possible if they get the right quarterback, right? If Drake May goes 2 and they get Jaden Daniels at 3, he could make them a much better team. So why not? But, you know, this is before the draft. I think we need to revisit this after the draft.
Michael, I'm just going to throw this in. What about the ifers to make the playoffs? It's actually minus 135. It's a minus number for the Jets to make the playoffs.
I would. You and I both know they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to stay healthy.
I told you. Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt again. Tyrod Taylor is going to be hurt, and you're going to be stuck with another Zach Wilson experience. I can just read it in the stars.
Oh, you know, write this down, Elliot. You know this is going to happen. The girl's right. She's absolutely 1,000. We're going to see this return of Zach Wilson, and it would be like a Netflix documentary. He could come back and lead the Jets back to promised land. Wouldn't that be perfect? Huh?
Oh, goodness. And that documentary, Michael, would give the truth equal to both sides, right? Hear everybody's side of the story in that one while we're on documentaries.
That's right. Instead of the infomercial that we're witnessing. Yes, exactly.
Awesome show, as always, Michael. You're the best. We'll be back tomorrow talking again more pro days. We'll see what comes out of Jaden Daniels' pro day. We got Drake May, Michael Penix tomorrow. So lots of draft talk, lots more NFL news and notes that has come out of Orlando in the NFL owners' meetings. But this was fun. Enjoy your day, everybody. Patrick Maher and the Sharp Money crew coming up next on VSiN and more great content on DraftKings Network as well. See you later.